from KLW News in San Francisco. This is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Pinole, California.
Santa Clara.
I'm from Fremont.
Pacifica, California.
Pleasanton.
Oh. From Vallejo.
Me from Antioch.
Coming up, a Bay Area school is sending students out of the classroom and into their neighborhoods to find solutions to big problems.
Besides what we learn in school with English, math, science, and all of those subjects, like, we also learn skills that we're going to need in life.
Then we'll visit a sex education class that's helping kids deal with a new kind of challenge.
The dating abuse usually begins in sixth grade. I thought that was kind of young. Well, it is young, but it's just sixth grade is just even more appalling.
And an Oakland high school wants its students to make some noise. A tour of some innovative school programs coming up on Cross Currents. It's that time of year again when thousands of seniors from around the Bay start throwing their caps into the air to celebrate graduation. Soon, some of them will start their very first jobs. Others will be out applying for internships that could eventually help them get their foot in the door. But there's a high school in Oakland that's positioning students to be one step ahead of the job rush. It's a high school where real-world internships are already a part of the curriculum, and that curriculum is created by students so they can figure out how they fit into the big picture. Mills College student reporter Lizzie Schultz has our story.
It's Friday afternoon at the MetWest High School Gymnasium. Over 100 students and faculty are gathered for the school's weekly town hall meeting. Senior Jose Gomez is at the front of the gym. He's proposing his thesis project.
So what's the issue? So the issue I'm focusing on is that many Latino families have lack of communication between each other, and I'm trying to get them strength and stuff like that.
A senior thesis project is mandatory to graduate from MetWest, but it's not strictly academic. MetWest students actually go out and work in their communities to identify a problem within a neighborhood. Then the student develops a project to address the issue. Gomez plans to work on teen parent communication at his old middle school, Urban Promise Academy, located in Oakland's Fruitvale District.
So my target community is Latino families. I am a member of this community. I'm Latino, and I have experienced lack of communication with my parents. And I want to make a difference in my family and my community.
And I have the honor to hand you your approval.
Gomez's project is accepted by the school. He'll be spending the rest of his semester planning and developing communication workshops for Latino families. MetWest High School was founded in 2002. It's an alternative public school that follows a philosophy called big picture learning. Students get real-world experience while making valuable connections outside of school.
What we have are young people who are out there with few or no relationships, you know, real meaningful relationships with adults right at the time in their life when it's most important.
Greg Cluster is the internship coordinator at MetWest.
Because they're about to become an adult. And so I think we really need to think about how do we structure students' time during their high school year.
Every year, students at MetWest work with mentors, advisors, and their peers to create individualized learning plans. Students go to class 3 days a week, and the other 2 days are spent at internships.
We just surveyed the students last month, and 99% of them say they like or love their internship. And at the end of the year, we always do a mentor satisfaction survey, in which it's usually 95% of internship site mentors say that they would like to be an internship mentor again with the right student.
MetWest has over 500 organizations in the Bay for students to choose from, and they are encouraged to explore their interests.
I explored that medical field, and I had the experience to see doctors and what do they do. And I decided I don't want to be a doctor.
That was Gomez's freshman year.
And I interned at the physical therapy department. And I said, it looks fun, but it's a lot of work.
He realized that science was not his thing.
So from hospital, I went to cooking. So I went interned at a Japanese restaurant. And I learned skills, cooking skills. And I actually got to prepare my first full meal.
But cooking didn't stick for Gomez either. This year, he chose to intern at Oakland Parents Together.
So he came to us, and we thought it was a pretty good fit.
That's Henry Hitz, the executive director of Oakland Parents Together, which provides tutoring as well as parent education classes. Hitz says he's been impressed by the MetWest philosophy and Gomez's work as an intern.
Name tags, I think right here.
Parents come together once a week to talk. The idea is to improve communication and strengthen Oakland families. Gomez frequently translates for the predominantly Spanish-speaking group.
We try to have bilingual discussions at every table, so he does a lot of help with that. He does a lot of the written translation.
Okay, para los que no me conozcan, me llamo José. Voy a la escuela de Met West High School.
Well, you know, of course, what he's learning to do is facilitate workshops so he can do his own workshops, and in May he'll be doing his own workshops.
Which is what Gomez's senior thesis project is all about. At first, Hitz was skeptical about how Gomez would engage middle schoolers, until he witnessed Gomez in action at Met West.
I saw what he did with his high school peers. He asked the question, "What do you hate about your parents?" They were engaged. They were completely engaged.
So, el propósito. Okay, entonces el propósito de esto es para que...
It's the end of the semester, and Gomez is leading his first workshop all on his own. 10 parents of middle schoolers at Urban Promise Academy are sitting around a few tables in a small room. Gomez gives them the first topic of the day. How does your culture influence the parent you are now?
Okay. Ahora cambien.
So basically, I told them to partner up with someone. So for 3 minutes, one parent's going to talk and answer the question. Then after the other person's going to have to listen and not talk at all. So and then after 3 minutes, they're going to switch.
They do this for the next 2 hours on a range of questions. As the workshop goes on, you can see the parents opening up more and more. Parents who were quiet at first are now having lively discussions. And at the workshop next week, the parents hope to do the same thing with their kids. At the end of the day, Maria Torres tells me Gomez made them feel comfortable.
He's saying that that there's something about him that caused the attention of the parents already. Mm. So just the way that he presents himself, mm-hmm. talks, and then just the way he attracts them to, mm-hmm. to be able to speak of it.
The experience has made Gomez more confident, too. He says the lessons he's learned throughout his internship have given him the ability to succeed after high school as well.
I got accepted to CSU LA and CSU East Bay. I want to study psychology and computer science.
74% of MetWest students enroll in college within 1 year of graduating. It's a graduation requirement to apply. Gomez is enrolling at Cal State East Bay. He says MetWest has given him more than just his education.
We have the experience to explore and have the, to explore our interests and just learn the skills of when you're finding a job, how to do a professional interview, how to ask good questions. I think besides what we learn in school with English, math, science, and all of those subjects, like, we also learn skills that we're going to need in life.
For Cross Currents, I'm Lizzie Schultz.
Lizzie Schultz is a reporter with Mills College in Oakland, where that story was produced. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. On today's show, we're taking you back to school. High school can be full of awkward moments. For example, the discussions that take place in sex education class.
And when the hormones are released, here's one thing you can expect to happen. Your testes and penis will grow.
When does puberty start?
When does puberty end?
Does it hurt? Somebody told me it hurt.
Well, talking about the birds and bees isn't necessarily what it used to be. Just as important as understanding the physical part of sex is learning how to stay mentally healthy in an intimate relationship. It's a lesson with real-world consequences. You may have heard of 18-year-old Jessica Logan or 13-year-old Hope Witzel. They committed suicide after humiliating images were passed around their schools. A new program called Dating Matters is working to prevent those kinds of tragedies by helping teens develop healthy attitudes about sex and sharing on social media. It's funded by the Centers for Disease Control, and it's up and running in several cities, including here in Oakland, where it's being taught at 10 middle schools. Mills College student reporter Carmen Elster takes us into one classroom.
Good morning.
It's 7:55 a.m. at United for Success Middle School in Oakland's Fruitvale District. Students are roaming the halls to avoid entering their classrooms. Talk of birthdays, high school classes, and juicy gossip are being shared in these last few minutes before first period.
How you want to be treated. Very good, very good. So, you can choose how you want to be treated by a dating partner. That's a good one.
Mario Hankton is talking to a group of about 30 eighth graders.
The way you act towards your dating partner. It's up to you, right? In the next 9 sessions, we're going to talk about what you can do if you are not being treated the way you want to, or how to tell if a behavior is abusive, and how to prevent abuse in a dating relationship.
Hankton is presenting Dating Matters, a brand new 2-week program to teach teens about dating violence. Hankton says a big reason Dating Matters was created was that kids as young as 11 were reporting being abused by an intimate partner.
The dating abuse usually begins in 6th grade. I thought that was kind of young. Well, it is young. Dating abuse is never to be tolerated, but it's just 6th grade is just even more appalling.
Dating abuse, or dating violence, can be physical, emotional, or sexual. It's a difficult subject, and one most 8th graders are not used to talking about. So Mario says it's not surprising that the information is hard for them to process.
You know, you talk about these serious subjects and it kind of touches a nerve. So they may start laughing or they may say things that may be somewhat offensive because they're reacting to some strong information.
Suppose there was a girl, she had on a mini skirt, right? She got in the car with 4 guys, right? She's with these 4 guys for the entire evening. 2 of the guys force her to have sex. Whose fault is that? Girl or boy? Count of 3. 1, 2, 3.
Girl.
She's dressing like a hoe.
She didn't have to get in the car.
No disrespectful language.
This kind of discussion happens a lot. During that same class, Mario asked all the boys, if a girl gets you sexually excited, it's okay to force her to have sex, true or false? All of them answered, true. Which, for Mario, shows how important it is to talk about dating violence.
Then there's other students who are wide-eyed. They had no idea about any of this. They're like, I thought we just came to school to learn, and I didn't know nothing. None of this was happening with children. They think it's a grown-up thing.
But it's not just a grown-up thing. According to a 2008 study by the Alameda County Teen Dating Violence Task Force, almost half of young people in Oakland said they experienced being intimidated, physically hurt, and/or emotionally abused by a boyfriend or girlfriend.
With abuse, there's a power difference. Someone is feeling unsafe to speak their mind or unsafe physically.
Natasha Shapiro is a clinical social worker who counsels teens dealing with relationship abuse. Most people think of abuse as only physical, Shapiro says, and often downplay emotional abuse.
I think people don't know so much about what that means and what that looks like and sort of make excuses for the partner and say, oh, well, it's not abuse, you know, they just want me to do this or something like that.
Shapiro says low self-esteem can also make teens more vulnerable.
You know, a lot of people who are in abusive relationships, you know, feel like they don't deserve any better. They're really looking for love. And so they might get sucked in.
Some people go into relationships or they have relationships. They have no idea what they want, right? They just want to be in a relationship, right? Or they don't want to be alone. It's important to think about the things that you want, okay?
The 2-week Dating Matters program starts with how to define caring relationships, then how to identify signs of abuse, and even how to help friends who are experiencing abuse. Most importantly, students get to define what loving, caring relationships are for them and set their own standards for love.
Love is when you really care about a person and when you don't, you don't hurt that person. Or you don't have responsibility for the person.
Michelle Aleman is an inquisitive 13-year-old who is eager to participate during Dating Matters. She has friends who have had unhealthy relationships, and she thinks Dating Matters can show them how to have positive ones.
I think it's really helping us because some classmates are having those troubles with relationships. Because some people think it's normal to do that, and it's really not. Because and you get to bigger things and, you know, probably somebody can kill themselves or something like that.
Teens who are victims of relationship abuse don't often have the resources or ability to avoid their abuser. They might not be able to change schools, move out of their home, or enter a shelter. Parents also may have a hard time seeing the abuse, especially now when it may take the form of social media. Texts and social networking sites are hard for parents to monitor. But teaching kids how to advocate for themselves is powerful, and Dating Matters does just that. Empowers young people.
Be supported and have trust. So, in addition to having the right to choose how you want to be treated by other people, on that list, you also have the ability to do what? Very good. You also get to choose how you treat somebody else. Right? This is just as important.
Dating Matters has 5 years to raise awareness and help put Alameda County at the forefront of teen dating violence prevention.
This is something that they're actually learning, it's stimulating, and it can help them as children and as adults. To me, the successes in this and the things that I'm most proud of are probably yet to be seen.
For Cross Currents, I'm Carmen Elster.
Carmen Elster is a student at Mills College in Oakland, where that series was produced. If you'd like to share your opinion about how sex education has changed over time, visit our Facebook page and send us a message. We're KALW. This is Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Figuring out relationships is by far one of the hardest things about being a teen. Even one misstep and it can seem like everything's thrown out of sync. But there's one charter school in Oakland that's been trying to keep kids in tune with themselves throughout this tumultuous time, through dance, theater, and visual arts. Oakland School for the Arts opened its doors in 2002 when Oakland Mayor, now Governor Jerry Brown, wanted students to have an outlet to express themselves. OSA just celebrated its 10th anniversary, and as Natalie Meyer reports, its students are thriving on a curriculum that seems to be striking the right chord.
The halls are almost always busy at Oakland School for the Arts. The bell just rang, and students are filtering out of their classes for lunch. Don Harris, executive and artistic director of Oakland School for the Arts, is taking me on a tour.
As the school grew, music in particular began gaining really talented students at the younger ages. So we've got some 11-year-olds here that are our future, and they're phenomenal.
Harris says this school brings out the best in kids because they choose to be here.
In that they have something they love, and they get in here because of that. They know they earned their way in. And then when they get here, they're involved with other like-minded students. So all those factors together keep kids what we call engaged. That's one of the new educational terms. We think they're engaged.
Well, OSA's taught me, like, to not give up.
That's ninth grader Nicoya Clayton.
Because, like, when I first came in, I kind of had a bad temper. And, like, if I didn't get it, I just wouldn't do it. They taught me, like, to keep going. So I always take that with me, like, to not be such a poor sport.
Even when students aren't in the classroom, they're engaged with the school and their art. The hallways are always full. During, between, and after classes, students are working on theory homework, practicing their instruments, and honing their vocal skills.
Take me all the way, and I'll never wanna feel.
I love that song.
In the hallways is something people notice right away when they come here. There's an energy, there's a life, there's an exuberance that schools can often lack for a range of different reasons, and certainly the arts are what contribute to that.
Harris takes me around the school to see this for myself. We stop by the instrumental music department first.
So we are here in the piano lab, and the students are in music theory right now, and the instructor, Alex Conde, that was his piano you just heard. And he's a very gifted pianist from Spain. Yes. So keep playing. Yeah.
And OSA offers instruction in 8 other art forms: theater, visual, digital, vocal,
it's like a dream to me. It's like a dream.
Literary, circus, production design, and dance.
Even though our arms are up, we still want that same thing. Less tension, tension here, ribs close. Here we go.
Harris believes that dancers bring a sense of poise and purpose as they walk through the halls of OSA.
So as in many art schools, the dancers are among the most disciplined and hardworking. Just the nature of their art form requires such just incredible dedication. Many of them take classes outside of school, and they constantly have to be physically fit and ready to go. Our dance director, Mr. Savage, often says dance is spelled W-O-R-K. And that's the very first thing he says to incoming students. And he definitely makes that come true.
Well, I'm majoring in music, so OSA definitely helped me prepare for that.
Lairlyn Parms Ford graduated from OSA last year. Now she's a first-year student at Mills College.
I'm confident with my instrument. I know I want to play saxophone. This is what I can do, and this is what I want to do.
Ford was in the instrumental music program at OSA. Her experience there gave her the confidence to test her musical abilities.
I've auditioned to sing in shows that I've gotten into. I sing a lot more at churches now. So, yeah, OSA has opened my musical range, I guess.
Harris's message for the students of Oakland School for the Arts is a simple one. Follow your dreams and explore your creativity.
I think that we impart to our students sort of an artistic attitude towards life, which involves curiosity and creativity, you know, out-of-the-box thinking, innovation, and that permeates what they do here and what they do next. And that, in a bigger sense, we're pushing that out into the world. This is not a regimented, test score-oriented, kind of data-driven universe. It's a different universe, and we think it's an important one.
After 10 successful years, Oakland School for the Arts is still making noise, even louder than before. OSA boasts a consistent graduation rate of nearly 100%, and approximately 95% of seniors are enrolled in college after graduation. It's a testament to kids succeeding in doing what they love, even if it's not like traditional school. You can be rich when you're poor, poor when you're rich. For Cross Currents, I'm Natalie Meyer. I can see the sunshine. I got it. You
got it. We got the magic, girl. I got it. Natalie Meyer is a student reporter at Mills College in Oakland, where our series was produced. You can find more information about OSA at our website. It's kalw.org. That's also where you can hear all of our local stories and subscribe to our podcast. And that's all for today's edition of Cross Currents. The team includes Hana Baba, Julie Kane, Tiffany Kamhai, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Dora Finkelstein, Alyssa Kapnick, Ben DeLuca, Teddy Lederer, Christina Loring, Liz Pfeffer, Mary Reese, Seth Samuel, Stephen Short, Eva Sonsan, and Brooke Welty. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. A young fashionista visits the Bangladeshi factories where her clothes are made.
I saw hundreds of workers crowded around sewing machines and work tables. The sound of whooshing looms and the chemical smell of dye filled the air.
Going Global, that's tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents. The band you're hearing right now calls itself Mad Noise. They also call themselves an identity crisis with rhythm. Mad Noise plays for tips. They prefer to call it busking every Saturday morning at the farmer's market outside of San Francisco's Ferry Building. Unlike most bands, they start at 8 a.m., not 8 p.m. For more information about local bands, go to kalw.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan. His secrets dissolve into nature's bounty. Newman claimed the climax of tyranny. Surrounds and abounds while freedom whispers.